Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're on our third part of The Power in the Harvest this morning, and we appreciate you being with us and all of those that are watching today and everyone in here. So, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I've not even hardly got into the scriptural portion of this, and I just blame every good thing on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have been quoting scripture, though, of course, and we've got into some, and I've got some stuff that he gave me even preface before we even get into the meat of the lesson. So it's good to be on a path. It really is good to be on a path. And if I've ever known that I was on the right path, it's now. And I believe that's the heart of so many that are watching and that are here. And it's like Sarah said this morning by the Holy Spirit, where would we go? You know, where would we go? If this was dissolved, which it's not going to be, I would just hate and try to contemplate where I would try to find. So it's not going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. So the power in the harvest, this is part three, pick the path. Pick the path. Now, I want to say this as in a preface, in an apologetic kind of manner. This is not, these lessons are not a rebuke. They're a sense of more convincing. You know, if you are enter into a class of apologetics and they're in a, and it's a particular subject on politics or religion or whatever, you're there to hear somebody that knows something give you all the right reasons why you should believe and continue to believe for the, you know, the path that you're on and the purpose that you're on. The word for today, if there is such a thing as a word for today, it's the word devolve. I like this word devolve because I think it depicts something that the Holy Spirit's trying to get across. The word devolve, D-E-V-O-L-V-E, devolve, means to gradually, this is the dictionary definition thereof, to gradually go from an advanced state to a less advanced state, or to pass something such as responsibility or power from one person or group to another person or group at a lower level of authority. Devolve. Now, with that, I will say this. The church has not evolved as in respect to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. Overall, the church has devolved. In other words, all of the glory that the church had, it has not been passed down. You know, we talk about revival, and people send me ugly emails every once in a while, like, you know, you can't even find that in the Bible, and I just mostly don't even answer them. I just delete it. I tried to answer them for a while, and then when I see if a person's an argumentative person, I just follow Scripture. The Bible says, after the second admonition, don't have anything else to do with him. So I've had some people want to argue, and then after the second admonition, when I see their name, I just delete it. What? I just delete it. I know they want to argue. I don't have time to argue. I just don't have time. I don't even have time to straighten anybody out. If you want to be what you are, be what you are. All I can do is present the truth. Well, the church has devolved. Overall, the Holy Spirit's not devolved. We know that. God is not devolved. His word is not devolved. But the church, I wasn't supposed to be standing here in 2022, going into 23, trying to convince you that signs and wonders and miracles are for today and that we should have a revival. What was the baton should have been passed down from generation to generation so that we're here today. And really, if that had been happening, I think the earth would have culminated and he would have come back. The harvest would have taken place. But we're at a breach. What's a breach? A breach is a place where the wall has been tore down. You know, you've got Nehemiah came and he was a typification of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah was somebody who was sent back to rebuild the walls after the Babylonian Empire took them away and destroyed Israel. Well, there were breaches in the wall, and they had them built up to a certain place, this huge, magnificent wall, and then there would be places where the wall was tore down. Nehemiah came back to fill in those places and breaches in the wall. Well, the wall that was supposed to go from New Testament Acts to present tense has got some breaches in it. In other words, it's been tore down. The signs and wonders that took place in the book of Acts are no longer happening at the scale. I'm not talking about like, ooh, I heard about so-and-so, and I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. Right? Glory to God for hearing about it, but I want to see it. And we're on the right path. We're on the right path. So the church has devolved, but this is why God is so pleased with you and I. He's pleased because we are excavators. We are archaeologists. We're digging down into places where people have said, I don't dare go there. I'll just stay status quo. I'll just stay status quo, and I'll just go to my church, and we'll have our nice little latte before service, and we'll talk a little bit and hang out, and then what do you want to do, and blah, blah, blah. Where do you want to go to lunch today? Oh, let's do so-and-so. Why don't you call ahead and get us reservations? Because, yeah, and... And let's just go in there and have our little ditty. Let's have our little ditty. And, oh, thank you, Jesus. And you go out. And this is the day of the intercessor. This is the day where God's gripping people's hearts and saying, get up. Get up in the middle of the night. Go pray. Go stand at the doorpost. Let's go stand on the wall. Take a 30-minute break during the day, an hour break during the day. Go pray. Seek my face. One of the scriptures I love for today is this. Please don't turn there. Isaiah 58:12. We used to use this all the time for Isaiah's that famous fasting chapter, like going into fasting. But part of what it says is, as a result of that in our fasted life, they that shall be of thee, the pronouncement to us or to those who follow the scriptural reference to fasting, they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Well, revival and power is a waste place. It's got to be raised up again. We're just now coming in. It's amazing. We're just coming now into the last. There was a great war. There was a great war fought in the last 10 years on radical grace or undefined scriptural grace versus true biblical grace. And we haven't accomplished all that. We're still waging the war against it, but at least we're coming to a good definition of what it means to live after a true biblical grace, walk righteously, not legalistically, but righteously, and understand what that really means. Now, along coupled with that, God is saying, would you add the power? I'd like to have the power, because the power is what's going to really draw the crowds. And so it says here in Isaiah 58:12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundation of many generations. There's been generations before that have tried this, and they've gone so far. You will be called... This is our name. Our name shall be called the repairer of the breach. Remember I said the breach was the wall that's tore down? You got a good solid wall, walking on the wall, and all of a sudden, whoop, there's 10-foot of wall that's destroyed. These are centuries where nobody looked at power. And all that they could do is live in monasteries, and they took the power and the word. Do you know, understand? That there was, even after the word was written, that for, I wish we could do a church history lesson. I should teach church history, just not the word, but just church history. Maybe I'll do that. I've got several church history books in there. Maybe I'll do that sometime if I get another lifetime. So it was illegal for centuries, illegal. You could die. You could absolutely die if they caught you having a manuscript of the Word of God. I'm talking about not in Arabic countries. I'm talking about like in Anglo-Saxon Britain and those kinds of places. You could actually be hung or burned or executed or imprisoned if they found the Word of God in you. So, or with you. So on and on and on it goes. We will be called, let's call ourselves this, will be called the repairer of the breach. I say, I'm the repairer of the breach. Hallelujah. We'll be called, it says, the restorer of paths to walk in or dwell in. Hallelujah. Let's rewind. Let's go back to those wonderful days of yesteryear. Hallelujah. Like the Long Ranger. I don't know if you ever watched that show. My objective continues. Love it, don't you? My objective continues to be to convince you, or his objective, to convince you that we're on the right path. Too many people, and as I said, I'm trying to get to my lesson, okay? Too many, now say this with me so it'll help you. Everything that Pastor's saying this morning pertains to somebody else. It doesn't pertain to me. Now, doesn't that take a lot off of us? Hallelujah. It's somebody out there in Never Never Land, and praise God. But too many people are somebody that I don't know, way out there, couldn't be any of us, are sleeping too close to the edge of the bed. So what is that? Well, there was a little boy that kept falling off the edge of his, kept falling off the bed every night. And it, you know, first night, mom and dad hear the thud, and they're like, screams, cries, and you know, you run in there, a little five-year-old. What's, baby, what's going on? I fell off the edge, I fell off the bed. Better. I'm going to use this. This will be my T, so I'll know where to put this back. Oh, not trying to be too theatrical. They, glasses, thank God they're not broken. This went on three nights in a row, four nights, I don't know. It's a story, you get it? It's a story. So, after a third or fourth night, they're thinking, this kid, what? Why does he keep falling off the bed? What's wrong? So they, dad says, okay, buddy, you know, we send you in, you give us a kiss at night, and you go in there, and then 2 hours later, you fall off the bed. We hear you screaming and crash. What's going on? So dad's going to go in there with you tonight and tuck you in. Now, all right, buddy, you just do what you normally do. Just show dad how you, I just want to find out, is the bed pushing you off or what's going on? Show mom and dad what you do. Okay, daddy. Got this, Marty? This is the bed. And he gets into bed. And he gets right on the edge. Now, I'm not going to roll down this thing. I'm not going to. He gets right on the edge, almost hanging off the bed. And that's his posture. He just barely gets in to bed. Does everybody understand? Too many of you have not decided, see, this is where you need to do on this. Whenever you decide to go all the way, you're not going to crawl on this little spot here. You're going to get over in here. I'm going to live my life all the way in the bed in full righteousness and full holiness, totally convinced that I'm on the right path. That way I've got plenty of wiggle room. I'm not going to live on the edge. If you're on the edge and you're not convinced about this path, you're going to fall off this path. If you're not totally inside of the bed, all the way inside, you're going to find opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to something to distract you. There's got to be a place where you get all the way in or get out. Are you telling us to get out? No, that's your decision. Hallelujah. I'd rather have you all in. Glory be to God. Preachy, preachy. See, I'll do anything I can. I wish I could just all pull you in. I wish you could look past me. If you say, I don't like the way you present. I don't even think you're handsome. You're a little chubby for me. I don't like your accent. You slaughter the English. You're this, that. Could you please just get past me? Get past me to the message. Because the path is perfect. The path is perfect. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God forevermore. I'm so glad you're convinced this is goes out to somebody else because of the things that I have to say. Too many are looking for an encourager to help keep them encouraged. Oh, Jesus. Too many of y'all and too many people are looking for an encourager to keep them encouraged. They need someone to help them to jack them up, free from depression or something that haunts them. Too many are looking for a blog, a post, or a service that will bring them into some kind of spiritual vitality. There's almost too much ministry nowadays. Well, come on now. Somebody better help me. There's almost too much ministry nowadays. Our forefathers lived with almost no access to written word, no audio, and absolutely no video. And yet they were strong in what they believed. They would die for it. They went into homes. Paul hauled them off. And in the book of Acts, he stood before kings and he said, I went, and God bless Paul. He had to get past a lot of condemnation. He said, I caused them, I made them blaspheme. And when they were executed, he said, some of them went to execution because of my testimony. Paul had Christians killed, and he went into churches and badgered them with fear, like, I'm going to haul you to jail and you're going to be executed. Blaspheme Jesus. Blaspheme him. Say he's not the Christ. And he probably got some so scared that they did that. But some went all the way, like Stephen, to martyrdom. And they had no Bible to open. They could go into the synagogue and hear it read. They had no videos to watch, and they had no repetitive services they could stand on. And yet they were strong. Again, I'll make the statement to lead into this verse. Our forefathers thrived with almost no access to written word and absolutely no access to video or audio teachings. Listen to this. This is an incredible scripture. Don't turn there. Proverbs 19:34 says, a slothful man hideth his hand. This is amazing. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. It's the epitome of slothfulness. I mean, you can't define slothfulness more than that. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. What does that mean? Amplified. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Do you know what that means? No, not really. They're so slothful. They're so spiritually lazy that you can set, the picture is, you can have a gourmet meal and the guy's like, I'm too exhausted to lift my hand to feed myself. I can't even feed, and if I do, would you help me chew it? Now there's nothing, he's saying, The slothful, there's no definition worse than that. The slothful man won't even eat the food in front of him. He's too lazy to pick it up with his hand and put it in his mouth. Kick the bucket. He will if he stops eating, won't he? What does that mean? You can have all of this, and if you say, I can't bring myself to pray. I know you've given me a good bunch of dumpling prayer. I got my mashed potatoes of confession of the word. And I see that good vegetables of praying in the Holy Ghost will feed me and it'll bring me out of whatever I'm in. But I can't make myself lift the fork and feed myself what you teach me on a weekly basis, Pastor. That right there's, we can go home on that. Anytime you blog, or let me say this, anytime you go to a blog, a post, or a teaching service, first, I'm going to read this twice, but listen to it real good. Anytime you go to a blog, a post, or teaching service first for your lifeline, it is apparent that you are not giving Jesus the rightful time in your life. They have sound meters that measure sound. You go, they have meters, you go in a factory, they'll measure the sound to make sure nobody's ears will get hurt. I'll guarantee you on that response, nobody's ears would have got hurt. Well, maybe you didn't understand it. Let me read it to you again. Anytime you, on a daily basis, go to a blog or a post or a teaching service online before, or if that's your lifeline, it's apparent. Thank God it's going out to somebody else. Isn't this great? It's apparent that you're not giving Jesus the rightful time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Here's your Q&A. Here's your Q&A. Okay? Don't answer it out loud. What preacher or church group are you replacing Jesus with? God, somebody in a, it's probably a foreign country that needs to hear this. God, ask them, what preacher or church group are they replacing Jesus with? If you go to their, oh, this almost sounds like a repeat. If you go to their service, their blog, or their post daily without first spending time with Jesus, you're replacing them with Jesus. I wish I had more soul in me. I could do the head thing, man. Because you can see, ooh, they're getting mad. I've seen them, ooh, Lord Jesus. You ain't, You can tell when Medea's getting mad. I'm not mad. I'm just speaking truth. If you go to their service, their blog, or post daily without first spending time with Jesus, you're replacing them with Jesus. You're getting a second-hand Jesus. A second-hand Jesus. Like furniture that someone has passed down to you, you're getting a Jesus that somebody else has digested, and now they're going to feed to you. I like to drink mine straight out of the tap. Teachers are divine, and a divine office. What are you doing this morning? I'm teaching. They're a divine office from Jesus for the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. But they never are meant to replace Jesus. Hebrews 5, 12, don't turn there. For the time ye, all of us ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. I'm still reeling off that Proverbs. I can't believe that. That's a I can't believe it. You should believe the word of God. I can't believe it. Did you get the image of that? I think you did. Can you imagine somebody too lazy to pick up their fork and eat? I'm hungry. I need somebody fix me. Right there. I can't do it. I just can't. I don't have enough. You're going to die. I don't know, but I know I just can't pick. I just can't. You know, if you pray, you'll live. It's on the plate. I can't do it. Can you intravenously feed me? No? No, you got to eat it yourself. Okay, I know you're getting beat. You're not getting beat. You're really, this is so good, because the whole time you're like, oh, thank God, this is not me. Okay, when you listen to your favorite preacher, when you listen to your favorite preacher and say, this is all what you ought to say, I just heard that from Jesus, or the Holy Ghost told me that recently, or they're confirming exactly what the Holy Ghost has been showing me in the Word of God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Rather than not always going about saying, I heard Pastor so-and-so say that, or I heard Teacher so-and-so say that, or I heard Apostle so-and-so say that. What about you and Jesus having your own thing going first, and then everybody else comes along through the Holy Spirit and confirms what Jesus ought to be saying in your life? Many of you, other than this crowd or the people watching, many of you are looking for somebody to keep you straight. Do you know nobody's supposed to keep you straight? Prop me up and keep me straight. No, no, no. If you're born again and spirit-filled, you're supposed to keep your own self straight. Well, that's what we hired you for. You ain't hired nobody. I ain't been hired, and I can't be fired. Keep me straight. You know what? It always tickles me when somebody says that. Now, there are some people who have said that to me that are humble enough that when I've corrected them. But here's the deal. It's always a catch-22. When they don't need it, you don't need to say anything to them. But the people, when they say that, and they do need it, they don't want to hear you. They're mad. I don't. What are you talking to me about? So when keep me straight. Okay. I will. Sure. I will. You're supposed to keep your own self straight. Oh, Jesus. Now we're going to begin this morning's sermon. Glory be to God. Oh. My tea's down there. Marty, am I close to where I need to be? Anybody wants to come and help us tonight? We're on the seventh lesson of the discipleship training manual. We'll be teaching on praying in the Holy Ghost. So we did a lesson a few weeks ago and taught them who the Holy Ghost is. They need to know He's God and how to get Him in their life to pray. Just how to be baptized. So tonight we're going to teach them a very simply on how to begin that part of prayer in their life. Amen. So we can do quite a bit here before 12. Hallelujah, because some of you have already made reservations. Hallelujah. Amen. There we go. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Now, I said something to you very provocative last week. And it was meant to stir you and think, why is he acting that way? Why is he saying that? I said, concerning myself and concerning the path that I'm presenting to you and the path that we're on, throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, what's that? You know, the old saying is, look, not everything that he's saying is bad. And I agree with part of what he's saying or she's saying, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, let's keep what we is vital and throw the rest of it out, the wash water left over that's not edifying. And I said, look, as far as concerning the path, now I tried to say this, I can be corrected. I can be corrected according to things that need to be as far as doctrinal. I'm still learning. But as far as the path, do you understand what I'm saying? The path that we're on, the path called revival. Alan calls it the revival tree. And basically that has four or seven limbs or foundations. We won't go into all those again. Fasting, praying, confession of the word, you know, worship, waiting on God, and co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And we could have broke out the word into two of those, and that would have made seven. But that's the path that we're on, and we're teaching that path. Now, I'm totally convinced of the path. I'm totally convinced of the doctrine of those things. I'm totally convinced of the power of the new nature. I'm totally convinced of the edification of praying in tongues, that he is our teacher, and he is also our one that will graduate us and grow us from glory to glory, the blade, the ear, and the corn, or full corn in the ear, the 30, the 60, the 100. I'm totally convinced on those things. So he said to us through his written word, which is the foundation for all prophecy, and then he said to us prophetically, not just from myself, but from other places concerning this revival. And I've said, pick the path. Pick the path. If you're not totally you're resolved on the path, choose one or the other. Either throw me out and the whole message, like I said, as I gave an example last week, all of those blueprint prophecies, well, Pastor, I like them. I think they're all about right, but there's a couple paragraphs. Well, I said, throw the whole thing out. Why are you doing that, Pastor? Because I want you to make one decision or the other. Because if you make a decision that everything is in that the path that we're on, then you get responsible to follow the path. Do you understand? If you make a decision like, oops, well, I don't know. Now, some things, Candy asked me a great question this week. She said, you know, that was good what you said, throw the baby out with the bathwater. We understand that. That's make a decision one way or the other, stick on the path, go forward, choose all. But, you know, at the same time, you also kind of teach us, like hearing other preachers, and I'm not talking about, you know, Jim or Gary or any of those, you know, those guys are right on the path with us. I'm talking about others that we sometimes will refer to, or I'll show you a short snippet of what they're doing, and I'll say, look, you know, we don't confirm everything that maybe they're saying. We don't know. It's just like with example. It's just like I showed a video of Rabbi Kahn a few weeks ago. We love him. We appreciate everything. But our forte is not, we're not interpreting everything through Judaism. That's not our gig. And I would probably have some exceptions with that. But I told you, listen to the things that he's predicting and the things how it correlates with everything that Pastor Jim had just written a wonderful letter. Well, Pastor, how do you say pick and choose on some, but you're telling us throw the baby out with the bathwater with you? Because those are all things that are subsequent or out of our path. Our path, our foundation, this is who we are. This is absolutely who we are. Those of other places, they're on maybe different, they're Christians, but they're on different paths. So we can look at them with judgment and say, yeah, good, that's real good, but no, not really, but I'm not going to choke on that, and I don't even have to talk about that. But as far as this, now this is our life. The other is just something that we look at and appreciate, and it may encourage us, but this is totally different. This is our path. This is the revival tree. This is who we are. We either choose this or we don't choose it. And if we choose it, then we got to go totally after it. We can't sleep on the edge of this thing. Because if we do, somebody is going to pull us off this bed. Glory be to God. That was a good question, Kenny. Helped me. Because see, the further we go, the more certain. Paul said that he was that we don't fight like we're uncertain. The Proverbs 4:12 Proverbs says, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into a more perfect day. We ought to be getting with more. See, the more I look into Scripture, I don't believe. Now, I know this sounds very provocative. I don't believe that I've prophesied by demons. I don't believe that. And you don't either. But I'm just saying that to just, I don't believe I've prophesied by demons. And I don't believe I come over here and said, I'll tell you, I fear the Lord too much. I fear the Lord too much. I don't know that he'd strike me dead, but my life might, I might end up dying early. The Lord would take his hand off of me if I tried to prophesy according to, like, I wanted to get something across to you. I fear God too much. I really do. And so fear's coming back to the church. It really is. We've seen some judgment, partial judgment. I've had some good questions asked. COVID-19 was not a direct judgment. It was a judgment, but not a direct judgment. God didn't send it. God didn't make COVID-19, and he didn't send it, but he also did not prevent it. He could not prevent it. When you go so far out, God can't chase you down and prevent things. Like, and Christians died. Good Christians died. That wasn't God's judgment against them directly. But when a nation goes from him and his hand says, okay, I'm over here, and God will follow you just as far as he can. Oh, you just go ahead and keep killing 60, 70 million kids. Keep doing that. Keep passing laws where same-sex marriage. Keep doing all this. Keep doing all that. And then you get out there in the realm of Satan. That's the 1 Corinthians 5 deal. God doesn't kill the man. Now, God does. Now, here's the thing. Ananias' judgment did come to the church. And it was because, here's the part maybe nobody wants. Judgment and revival go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. The reason why people don't die in church for lying and doing nasty things is because there's not enough power. But the day will come, and I don't want nobody to die, but the day will come in which there'll be so much Holy Ghost power in here, you're praying against your own self if you're not being nice, because the day will come where you do know that Ananias and Sapphira, the devil didn't kill them. The Holy Ghost killed them. Some of you are like, oh God, he just blasphemed saying the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost took the breath out of them. They dropped dead. That's possible they're in heaven, because if everybody that lied, because they didn't even get a chance to repent. I think of them kind of like, I think of his name if I took long enough, but I won't. You know, the same guy that touched the ark when David, he tried to steady it. Yeah, he tried to steady it, boom. God just took his breath right out of him because it was illegal to do that. Now, he didn't do a sin per se. He wasn't being naughty. And I think maybe you'll see Ananias and Sapphira in heaven. I don't know. But I'm telling you that to say this. COVID-19 was not a direct, like, I'm going to kill people. No, that wasn't it. It's just like when you start walking far out, God says, okay, I can't follow you any further. Nation of America, I can't follow you any further. Satan wants to come and destroy your population. I can't go any further. Because, see, really, if revival is supposed to stop stuff like that. You're not even supposed to know it came or wanted to come. Do you know how many? No, you don't know. I was going to say, do you know how many things you don't know that you've stopped? No, you don't. Please, intercessors, keep praying. I mean, I'm not talking about this service. Everything's going good. But I'm saying keep praying in your life. You're changing things. You're changing things and helping us take this to another level. So, obviously, I'm not even going to begin to. There's going to be a 4. There might be a 5. There might, I don't know. Hallelujah. So the end game is the harvest. We're understanding our assignment more than any other time in our life. I'm more convinced. I want you to be more convinced of our assignment. Hallelujah. We continued to say last week, and we'll say, you know, what? See, our whole objective in when we do get to the Scripture part is, and I think Can I give you a forecast of things to come? Beginning at the book of chapter 1 in Acts, going to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 chapters that I want to reference. And maybe you want to read through the book of Acts yourself. But you'll see that power came. And after the power came, like not just like the day of Pentecost, but miracles like the lame man at the gate beautiful. Even the power of Stephen being martyred brought about Paul's. The power came to, I want to give the scriptural references. You follow Stephen, his preaching, then Philip leaves, he goes down to Samaria, and he preaches, but he's led of the Holy Spirit to go down there, but not only does he preach, the Bible says with signs and wonders, and with the signs and wonders, the great multitudes came to the Lord. Then, you know, it just goes on and on. I want to take all this and just download it to you in a second. It's all there. Do you think when the Ethiopian, the eunuch that was the treasurer for Candace, queen of Ethiopia, he's went across that little isthmus from, you know, I've been in Africa, but you can go from Africa, the upper right hand, right over into the Middle East. And so he had crossed over into that little place that you can cross over and go in. He had visited Jerusalem, and he was going back to Ethiopia. And so he meets Philip. This is all supernatural. So what we're after is going in to get the supernatural, to evangelize, and to see this great harvest. Not trying to put together programs void of the supernatural. So watch this. God tells him, go out in the desert. He goes out in the desert. This guy's coming by on his chariot. It's, you know, this guy is right next to the queen of Ethiopia. I mean, this guy's got status. So there's a chariot. Now, when we think of, this is not Ben-Hur chariots. This is a buggy. This is a wagon. It's probably a very nice covered wagon. And he hears him reading from the book of Isaiah. He said, so the Holy Spirit told him, go up and address him. Go up close to him. So he runs over there, and he says, he heard him reading. It was from Isaiah, as a lamb before the slaughter, he is led as a sheep before the shearer is dumb. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no, how do I understand unless somebody teaches me? And so he says, do you understand? Is he talking about the man that is speaking? Is he writing of himself, or is he speaking of someone else? And he said, Philip's like, good question. I can tell you the answer to that. You know, so he said, come up in here. Gets up in that chariot, and the guy, you know, he's probably got an entourage with him. I would say if he's that important, he's probably got an entourage of people, men with him with other horses or whatever. So he preaches to him Jesus. He comes to the water, and he says, here's water. What hinders me from making this commitment to Christ? He said, none whatsoever. If you believe, if you'll believe. So he said, I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's. So he goes down and baptizes him. And the Bible says, as soon as they come up out of the water, as soon as they, Philip baptizes him in the name of Jesus, and they step out from the water onto the bank. They come out of the water, and as soon as they come out of the water, Philip disappears. Now, do you think that was a good evangelism tool by the Holy Spirit? When he gets back to Ethiopia, first of all, he's going to tell Queen Candace, and he's going to say, listen, the man that did all this, that taught me, I'm telling you, it's true. Because we learned Wednesday night, the word signs means, it's the other word, the Greek in Mark, it's the word indicator. It indicates that you are who you say you are. And he's telling her, he's saying, look, you're not going to believe it. As soon as he baptized me and we stepped up on the bank out of the water, he just disappears. He's just gone. And what I want to do is I want to go, it's your fault, Father. From 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the way through. I just go into 10 supernatural signs and wonders, just crazy stuff. Not crazy stuff, but like, we don't see people disappearing nowadays. There'll be people that'll be transported to other places in this revival. Sound. There'll be people transported. Because they'll say, my God, this is not a, this is a real, this is a real movement. These people are real. Last Thursday I heard there was two people that dropped dead in their church, and now there's people being transported. No, we don't want people dropping dead. But it's about to get real. It's about to get real. Amen. Appreciate that. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Well, glory to God. Father, we love you. And we give you all the praise and glory. Would you just lift those hands? Harry, would you go and just, we got just a few minutes. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah, Jesus.